Tonight we're talking about the last part of the series of talking about Holy Spirit. And it occurred to me today as I was studying that we know so little about the Holy Spirit. We're just scratching the surface. Mostly because I think we're uncomfortable, not us as a church, but could be a little bit, to allow the Holy Spirit to unpack. You know, I just was down and saw my daughter twice this year, and she has a little bedroom for grandma and grandpap whenever we come down. So she puts us over in a little bedroom, and I throw my suitcase on the floor, and I live out of a suitcase for a week. And I sure would like to unpack, get comfortable. But sometimes we allow the Holy Spirit to do only what we want him to do, and then we relegate him to silence. Well, how many know we're Spirit-led people? Let me say it again. We're Spirit-led people, supposed to be. And we allow the Holy Spirit to move the way he wants to move. We've somehow changed a lot of things to maybe mean what they're not supposed to mean. And the pastor will tonight speak about tongues being, when we speak in tongues, our prayer language is speaking to God, not from God. Tongues, the gift of tongues, is a message from God to the congregation. Praying in tongues is praying from us to the Lord. He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself and prays to the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. And so when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying to the Father. And the wonderful thing about it, Holy Spirit is praying through us, activating our spirit man to speak to God. We don't know what we're speaking, but things are happening in the Spirit. Things change in the Spirit in our personal lives, with our relationships, with our church and community. So it's a very powerful weapon the Lord has given us to pray. Nobody knows what we're praying, including the enemy. Come on, someone. And a lot of times we give it away. We don't use, we got good heart, dumb head. When we start complaining to God vocally, and the enemy is listening to our words and saying, well, that's the problem. Let me start attacking that area. But how many know when we pray in an unknown tongue, he has no idea what we're talking about. But God knows every word. As we utter it to him, he's able to answer that prayer without benefit of the enemy getting involved. So the Holy Spirit wants to unpack, not only with tongues that we'll talk about tonight, but the spiritual gifts. How many know when we come together, it's so precious to watch the Holy Ghost minister in signs and wonders? Because that's who he is. He does signs and wonders. He doesn't do things that we can do because we can do them. Come on, someone. Giving somebody a hug and tell them you love them and things like that. That's not, the Holy Spirit doesn't need to be involved in that. But when he speaks unknown things, when he speaks wisdom and knowledge and prophecy, how many know that changes lives? So we want to pray that the Holy Spirit, especially in new life, begin to find a place where he can unpack and make himself at home and actually come and have a Spirit-led worship time on Sunday morning. Everything totally Spirit-led. How many would love that? Come on, somebody. We're growing into that. We're learning that. We're learning who the Holy Spirit is. I grew up in, I grew up in one of those churches where never heard about the Holy Spirit. That's how I grew up. I went to church every Sunday, but I never knew there was a Holy Spirit. Nobody ever mentioned the Holy Spirit. They mentioned Jesus and God and Joseph and Mary. That's about it. I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit, but thank God for the precious Holy Spirit in our life. Amen. So let's pray, and then we'll hear the video. Father, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Teach us. Lord, stir within us the desire to pray in the Spirit, God, and to build our spirit man up. And we thank you for this teaching. We thank you for the Holy Spirit becoming more real to us than maybe he's been in quite a while. We give you the glory and praise tonight in Jesus' name. There's a book called Before We Kill and Eat You. and it's by John Garlock, an old missionary that God called to a cannibalistic tribe in Africa. Now, how many know you better hear from God if he calls you to a cannibalistic tribe? How many know? And so God called him there, and this was back in the mid-1900s, 1940-something. And they didn't like what he had to say, couldn't understand him. He couldn't speak their language, but he was trying to communicate with them. And they got angry with him and hit him over the head and tied him on the ground to stakes. And they were getting ready to eat him. How many know that's real? So he's laying there on the ground, and he says, I felt like if I was going to die, I was going to die praying to God. And so he closed his eyes and started to scream in tongues. And he opened his eyes, and there were people standing around him with their mouth like this. And he was preaching the gospel in their tongue. And they cut the ropes off of him and somehow communicated. He ended up staying there and writing the Bible in their language, and the whole village got saved. How many know? Thank God for tongues. And I think we take that for granted sometimes when we don't pray in the Spirit, and there's some tremendous things can happen. When Terry and I were students in Bible school, we had a Jewish rabbi from the tribe of Levi that came and had all the garb on and things and was visiting. The school we attended was Friends of Israel, and he was being shown around the school and went past the prayer room and stopped and began to cry. And Frieda Lindsay asked him what was wrong. He said he heard somebody praying in Aramaic, which is a dead language now. Nobody, maybe 50 people in the whole world, can speak it fluently and understand it. But this Jewish rabbi, and was a maybe more than that, but anyway, he was a Levite and could understand and read and write Aramaic. And the person that was praying was glorifying the Lord in Aramaic and speaking to Jesus in prayer. How many know what happened to that Jewish rabbi? He got saved. Come on, that's real stuff. That's real stuff. When I first came to town, there's a local pastor that knew that I came from New Life and wasn't real excited about finding out I was Pentecostal. And I remember him telling me a story that he was with someone one time that said they were Pentecostal and stood beside him and just shouted in tongues for a half an hour while they prayed. He said, it so turned me off, I didn't go back to any more prayer meetings. And I thought, how ignorant for someone to do that. Come on, someone. And so over this last 5-6 years, we've had 2 or 3 or 4 times where I've been able to speak about Holy Spirit and what he's done in my life. And he's more open to the Holy Spirit now than he ever has been. And I'm believing he's going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many know? Come on. We just have to be patient with Holy Spirit. I told this story to my first pastor. How many were here when Bill Foy was here? Remember when I had Bill out, my first pastor? Bill was a missionary to Africa and was baptizing people, and a lady got baptized in the lake there, Lake Victoria in Uganda, and she came out of the water speaking perfect English was her tongues that God gave her, glorifying God in perfect English. And so every time they'd have worship service at the church, people would be praying in the Spirit. She'd be saying, thank you, God, hallelujah, I glorify your name. Never knew what she was saying. Come on, someone. Powerful stuff that the Holy Spirit does that we have no idea what he... How about the Levite that heard? How about the guy that his life was saved by Holy Spirit? And so this idea of tongues is a particularly crucial one for the Christian. And it's so sad that such a small percentage of people are actually open to and are used by God, because what Robert said is very true. Every Christian can pray in the Spirit. But every Christian does not pray in the Spirit because we've gotten wrong news or we've gotten scared because of some... You know, it's like when they finally interview a Christian on major news network, it's usually somebody that forgot to put their brains in their head whenever they got the mic in front of them. How many know what I'm talking about? They say stupid stuff. You go, wait a minute, take the mic away from them. Go to somebody like Mike Pence. Now, when Mike Pence gets interviewed, he glorifies God. Amen? And we have a lot of people that misuse and wear tongues as a badge of some kind. And they turn people off. People don't want anything to be crazy. I love what the first teaching in this series was. The Holy Spirit's my friend, and he's not nuts. He's not weird. We know the Holy Spirit gets the work done. He gets the work done. What's the difference between prophesying and speaking in tongues? Yes.
Prophesying is where God gives a message to somebody, gives the congregation, and then you're talking about.
Is it okay when we're together praying in tongues out loud? Is it? Why? If there's an interpreter. I mean, everybody praying in tongues. We get together and there's 9 or 10 of us and we're all praying in the Spirit. Is that okay?
Does it worship the prayer time, I think so.
Yeah. But what did you say about somebody speaking in tongues loudly? There better be an interpretation, right? Yeah. And we need to be, you know, we need to be careful on Sunday mornings when we have guests, of course, you know, praying in the Spirit. Under one thing I learned about God early on, he's got good hearing. So I don't need to shout to God. When you know God knows when I'm just whispering under my breath. Are you there? Come on. We tell kids in school they can't pray. I said, you can pray. Just pray like this. What do you hear? Pray. God will just give you glory and honor. Pray. God hears me. God hears me. He's close. He's always with us. Amen. Amen. Somebody got a testimony about praying in the Spirit? Yes. Someone else. Is everybody baptized in the Spirit here? Everybody using your prayer language? How many will be using your prayer language much more now? Sometimes we forget, man. We can multitask and pray in tongues. It's not sacrilegious to wash dishes and pray in tongues. Nobody washes dishes anymore. What am I talking about? Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
When we're born again, what's born again? Our spirit. And so what a better one to pray for us. I mean, he's born again, and he's the one that's with God. The other thing is, can your mind think on two things at once for any extended period of time? You know, you may get a couple words and think of it at once, but can your mind do that? And so when somebody cuts you off in traffic or somebody does something that you don't like, a good thing to do right away, that you're going to get mad, is just start praying in the Spirit a little more, because your mind won't be able to think about that while you're doing that, and that'll take away that chance to sin and get mad and say something you shouldn't.
Amen. Amen. Someone else. Your experience with tongues.
I said years ago, I said, that's the Indian law. And then I just went out of the base. We was doing something, and a couple words came to me, and then I just shut up. I didn't speak it out, which I probably should have. And then another time, we had the lady said that she got up and said that there were 3 people want to give a word. Well, 2 did, and I got some words and I didn't understand it, so I didn't think of it. So, you know, I was young, and anyway, I didn't do it. But she said there would be 3 people speaking, and I could speak on it. I didn't understand. As far as the words that he gave me, you don't always understand what he's saying.
Right.
Well, he don't tell you everything. Of course, you got to start saying the words, and you got to speak it, and then he'll give you the rest of the words. But if he gives you three words, you got to say those.
That's right. That's very perceptive. Yeah.
So if something pops in your mind like that, he's giving you the word, but you got to step out and trust him. That's the thing.
Well, that's the thing. We got to prime the pump. God's not going to make us pray. He doesn't take, like what Robert said, you know, he's not going to force us to do something. All of a sudden go into a trance and start spurting tongues out. That's not God. You know, we pray, we prime the prompt, start to speak in tongues, and the Holy Spirit takes over. Amen. But we still got to engage. Another thing that I say this quite often, but I want to say it again. Don't ever believe, so most of us know this, but for you younger folks, don't ever believe that God will allow you to be out of control, or you cannot control yourself and God makes you do things. I can guarantee you 99.9% of the time that's not God. There may be an instance where God made you do something. I don't know when that would be, but I can tell you that that's not the Word of God. He engages our mind. He engages our tongue. He engages our spirit, man. We're engaged. We're lucid. We know what's going on. I can't ever remember a time where I ever was in a trance and did something. When that happens, that's the enemy. When somebody's not in control, that's the enemy. God's a gentleman. He'll never allow us to be out of control. He'll never allow our minds to be emptied when we're not thinking about anything. Well, just blank out your mind and begin to pray. No, engage your mind. We have the mind of Christ. I pray in my spirit. That's why Paul said, I pray in my spirit with the spirit, and I pray with my understanding. To stay engaged, you know, going hours and hours and hours and just letting things flow out of you and you're out of control, you're asking for spiritual problems. And I've met some people like that are ultra-Pentecostals, you know, the members of the Deeper Life Club, you know. Are you in the river? Yeah, you had your hand up?
I was at a Baptist revival service down the Baptist Church of Denver one night, and they were singing songs as all churches do. The guy stood up and loudly gave a message in tongues.
Wow.
The service was dead. That was it. That kind of shocked Baptist to no end.
I'll bet. Yeah. No, unless you know there's a, especially in a church our size, you want to make sure that there's an interpreter here if you're going to shout out a message in tongues. Yes?
When I was about 7 or 8 years old, whatever, we went to a Pentecostal church, and my mother, she went too. And anyway, we was in bed one night, and my mom woke up, the Spirit running through the house, shouting and everything, so the Holy Spirit got a hold of her.
Yeah.
When I was young, I used to go to Pentecostal church and see people running up down the aisles and stuff like that. So I kind of been around it, you know.
Yeah. And that's the thing. There's been people scared about that kind of thing because what they used to call holy rollers. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Actually, people would roll down the aisle and get all sweaty and foam at the mouth and act like they were possessed. And then they'd, you know, can you imagine watching that for 15 minutes and then somebody getting up and say, don't you want what I got? No, thank you. I'll just stay the way I am. Thank you very much. Amen. Somebody had your hand up over here. Yes, Gene.
I had macular degeneration quite a while back. And all of a sudden, I started seeing all these images of people and all kinds of things. And to me, it could have drive you crazy if you had to put up with that for any length of time. So for 2 hours, I spoke in tongues for 3 nights in a row, and they left.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God. What a testimony. It worked, huh? Amen. Saw another hand over here. Yes, Ruthann.
There's the opposite extreme of being too Pentecostal. I grew up in got all the Bible studies and everything else going on, not even a mention of salvation. So, of course, there was no Holy Spirit that I ever heard of until I was an adult. Well, that's sad.
Yeah. Same here. Yeah, I didn't ever heard about Holy Spirit. Yeah. I say, do you think that could be one of the major things that's holding revival back?
Well, it has to be, but that's the power.
We need the power. Without the power, you can't do it all alone.
Yeah, yeah. First 300 years of the church, everybody was Pentecostal. There wasn't even a word called Pentecostal. People were just disciples of Christ, and they naturally were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Signs and wonders were happening. People were praying in the Spirit. Come on, someone. And then we got edumacated. People started writing things down and claiming this and claiming that. And the Holy Spirit disappeared for such a long time. Amen. We want to be naturally supernatural. Just be who we are. You don't need to be weird or get out of control or be strange to be a spirit-filled Christian. Matter of fact, we're one of the most sane people on the face of the earth because we're believing God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is moving through us. And we allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit does. Come on, someone. Yes.
I had a dream this afternoon sitting in my chair that I was out doing stuff like James and Rick was talking about Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I was with you, and we were out, and we ran into a big gang of guys. And I asked them if they needed prayer. And I prayed for the one guy who had a bad shoulder, and his shoulder got, you grabbed his shoulder and rubbed it, and I spoke to it, told it was healed, and he was healed. And then there's another heavyset guy come along, and he was wondering what was going on, and we talked to him, and he got salvation. Well, that's what I brought that up was the power. Yeah. That stuff starts happening, that yeah. People's going to get turned around. Mm-hmm. With God, they can't deny that.
No.
Yeah. You know, they can deny if you say something, but God changes their body, and it's undeniable. They shouldn't. I'm not saying they can't. And Roy was talking about letting a word come out. Rory, you ought to try. Down at the House of Faith, I was doing worship one night, and a guy stood up and gave him prophecy, and it was about David fighting, and God training the scripture, God training his hands to do warfare. And all of a sudden, just a phrase hit me after he was done, and I took off with a song. We talk about, I thought later, oh my, why did I do that? Here you are, I don't know what I'm playing. I don't know the words that's coming, and I'm singing this song, and I sang a whole song, verses and everything, and a chorus, off of that prophecy of God training our hands. Papa, teach me how to fight. And down at the end, Papa, one day there might be a giant too big for me to kill. I'm going to need your training. You know, that song went, and I got the recording of it. I thought, hey, that might be a keeper, and I better rearrange it and take out words that was wrong and whatever, and I played that through and wrote it down, and one word that I changed. I mean, it was perfect grammar and everything all the way through.
You still have that song?
Yeah, I got it written somewhere if I could find my left here. I don't know where my songbook is now.
You recorded? Did you record it? I'd love to hear that.
The guy that gave the prophecy recorder, and he's played in several churches, and it's been a tremendous thing happen when that.
Yeah, get a hold of that. We'd love to hear that on a Sunday morning if you can get it. That'd be precious.
I don't know whether I got it. He's got it. I know.
Probably have it. Jesus, I'm sure.
That's right. Love to hear that.
Got to be able to sing for.
Well, we just pray as this series is going on and us going through Ephesians, we just pray we allow Holy Spirit to unpack and be all that He wants to be. How many know He's Lord? Instead of relegating Him to just a few sections of our time together, may we be Spirit-led people, amen, in everything we do. Because one of the things we love is routine. We're all slaves of routine in some parts of our lives. May we be open to the move, the fresh move of Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for this series. I thank you, God, for reacquainting us and reintroducing us to you, Holy Spirit. And Father, we want to not just keep this to ourselves. We want to share this with others. Lord, we do pray for our brothers and sisters that have not yet came to the fullness of the Spirit. We pray, God, for the churches in our community. Pray, God, for those that we love, God, that they would be open to and receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, and I believe it's a precursor, Holy Spirit, to a groundswell of revival that we've been praying for. Lord, I thank you that signs and wonders would come back to your church. God, that we would welcome the miraculous, that we would welcome the spiritual in a way that maybe we have not in the past. God, I repent, we repent for holding you back in any way, for drawing the lines and asking you to keep inside of those. Father, you're God. Holy Spirit, you're God. Whatever you want, whatever your desire is, God, would you use us, beginning in our private prayer time. May we be those that pray in the Spirit and build ourselves up on our most holy faith. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. I ask blessings on each and every one, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, no activity in the Bible says that we edify ourselves or build ourselves up except praying in the Spirit. Reading the Bible is good, and we study. Study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. But the only passage that says we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, well, in Jude it says that, pray in the Holy Spirit. But we edify ourselves when we pray in the Holy Ghost. So I encourage you to do that.